All right, let's go ahead and open up to Luke 17. We are in an awesome chapter of the Bible, a powerful chapter of the Bible. Last week we looked at as the days of Noah. Today we're looking at as the days of Lot. And you know, you might find the message offensive today. And you know, the Bible says something to offend everybody. So it's not unusual to be offended. I would just encourage you, if you don't agree, just why don't you hear the heart behind it? Why don't you hear all that's said? And, you know, maybe it'll help you understand a clearer understanding of what the Bible teaches. But we're talking about as the days of Lot, and we're in Luke 17, verse 26, and we read, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man." That is the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus coming again. And we looked at that last week. We went back, if you weren't here, we went to the book of Genesis, to the days of Noah, and we looked at what it's going to be like as it was in the days of Noah. And Jesus here says they ate, verse 27, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So they were caught off guard. They thought everything was just going to keep going. They were going to keep waking up, keep eating, keep drinking, keep marrying, giving in marriage. And they were caught unaware that they were living in the days that judgment was coming. And not only were they unaware, we saw last week that in the days of Noah, as we talk about that, in the last days, there's even going to be scoffers regarding Jesus' coming. Let's just pull that up. We looked at it last week. People will not only be unaware, but they're going to be scoffing in the last days, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. That's the real issue. They're not believing God. They're not following God. They're not alive to God's word because they're doing their own thing. They're following their own lusts and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Or in our day and age, it'd be since the Big Bang. You know, everything just for millions and millions and millions of years, it's just going to always be the same. "For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water." And man just willfully forget that. They're not willing to look at the evidence that there was a worldwide flood, and so they just pretend that that never happened. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition or destruction of ungodly men." And then Peter tells us, "The Lord is not slack." He's not slow concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So why hasn't the Lord come yet? He's long-suffering. The Spirit of God is striving in these last days with men that they'll come to repentance. And, you know, maybe you've never come to repentance. Maybe you're listening and you've never repented of your sins and trusted Christ. You know, you can't be saved apart from repentance. That's the only way you can be saved, is to turn away from your sin and to turn to Jesus. You know, when you listen to Jesus' preaching, he said things like, "The kingdom of God is at hand." You can reach out and take it. How do you reach out and take it? You have to repent. And you have to believe the gospel, the good news. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, I think of this one chapter where God just says, "Why will you die in your sins?" You have to turn from your sins, turn to Jesus, and you'll live. Well, and as we come to verse 28 this morning, likewise, we talked about the days of Noah, and now we continue Jesus' teaching. "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built." So Jesus is making a point here. Both times judgment was coming, but people were totally unaware of it. They just were going on with all the things that kept them busy, planting and building. And again, it's interesting. We read from Peter Peter also, like Jesus, he was probably thinking of Jesus's teaching. Peter touches on both Noah, and he preaches on the days of the Lot. We'll bring it up, 2 Peter chapter 2. God didn't spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. Noah, his three sons and their wives. Noah and his wife, three sons and wives. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. But then now Peter also talks about the days of Lot and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now, as we're going to keep reading here, and a couple of different things I want you to pick up on as we read through this. In the yellow, everywhere it's talking about the judgment that came, it's talking about judgment that came on those who were practicing homosexuality. And again, as we bring this up and start to talk about this subject, I would just encourage you to tell the truth about homosexuality. It's not hate. It's telling the truth. And, you know, I think as we see homosexuality growing in our culture, I think the right response is to be like God. Well, we were still sinners. God demonstrated his love for us, and Christ died for us. Even when we were sinners, and I think when it comes to homosexuality, the sin of homosexuality, we love those that are in that sin. And you know, the Bible doesn't just speak out against homosexuality. Actually, the New Testament, it does also speak about, Old and New talk about homosexuality, but the New Testament actually talks more about adultery and fornication than it does about homosexuality. They're all sins. You know, and the Bible says about adultery, sex outside of marriage, or fornication, sex before marriage, that those who practice such things won't inherit the kingdom of God. And don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And so specifically, we're talking about homosexuality today. And as you read through this, you'll see in yellow what the scriptures say. And we'll talk more about Sodom and Gomorrah in a minute, but it was a sin of sexual immorality, specifically homosexuality, and God condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who would afterward would live ungodly. So they're an example that those that choose the homosexual lifestyle, their end will be the same as Sodom and Gomorrah. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the all through it is the description of God's description of homosexuality, filthy conduct of the wicked. Now, I want you to pick up on this. I want you to notice, I want you to count all three times that Lot is called righteous, because that's going to be part of our study too. So verse 7, he delivered righteous Lot. That's the first time. He was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the second time, righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing. Here's the last description of homosexuality, seeing their lawless deeds. So the sin of homosexuality is first found in Genesis 19, and that is the story of Lot. And Jesus is telling us, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man coming, or it's going to say in a minute, the Son of Man being revealed. And as you go back and you read about the days of Lot, you read that the homosexuality was so widespread that these angels came to deliver Lot before they destroyed the cities. And they just came as normal men. And it says in Genesis 19 that all of the men of the city came because they wanted to have sex with the two new men that came to the city. That's what it was like in the days of Noah. Homosexuality was widespread. And we'll just pull up on the overheads where it talks about homosexuality in the Bible. And I think this might be helpful to you. You can take a picture of this, or you can go to our app or website afterwards, and all the notes are there. You don't have to take notes if you want to just get them afterwards. But Genesis 19 is the story of Lot. Leviticus 18, where it says it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man. And Romans 1, where it says God gave them up to their vile passions, the lifestyle of homosexuality, that it's actually going against nature. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says that no homosexual or someone who submits to homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God. And 1 Timothy 1 says the law shows a homosexual that it's sin. So you could go and you could read those. You know, there's a lot of people that say the Bible doesn't teach that homosexuality is sin, and that is just wrong. That is incorrect. And it's interesting that in Timothy, Paul told Timothy that in the last days, people are going to be able to surround themselves with teachers that'll tell them what they want to hear it. So if you want to go to a church where someone will teach you that homosexuality is God's design, you can go to a church like that. It's the last days that you can find people that'll tell you whatever it is that you want to hear. So according to Jesus, the rise in homosexuality that we're seeing in these days is actually a sign that Jesus is coming again is near, as it was in the days of Lot. So it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. Sodom and Gomorrah is a warning to sinful mankind. It's a warning that to the homosexual lifestyle, that this lifestyle will end in judgment. And then we look at Lot's life. Lot's life is a warning to us as believers. And if the Bible didn't say that Lot was righteous, I wouldn't believe it. But Peter makes it really clear. We counted those three times that Lot was actually righteous. And so he becomes a warning to us as the righteous, as believers. And you go back in Genesis 13, and we'll just read a little bit about Lot's life. Lot chose the well-watered land of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the men of Sodom, here's more description, biblical description of homosexuality. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. But here's what we see of Lot, and we can bring up the bullet points, that Lot chose, he's a warning to us, and that he chose the well-watered land of Sodom. And when you go back and read that story, Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen are beginning to fight with each other. And Lot is Abraham's nephew, and Abraham just says, listen, our flocks have gotten too big. You know, the land's before us. You choose. You take the best land. And Lot, it says, saw the well-watered land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he chose that well-watered land. In other words, that's going to be great land for raising cattle, raising flocks. It's a great business decision, but it was a poor decision because it wasn't a good place to raise a family. Boy, how we have to be so careful that we don't just look at what's good for business, but what's going to be good for my family? And so Lot is a warning to us. He chose the well-watered land of Sodom. And then he's also a warning that as you read his life, you see him backsliding. It says, and we won't go back and look at it, but I'll just bring it up. It says that Lot pitched his tent in Sodom. And then you see the progression. Lot had a house in Sodom. And then you read Lot was sitting in the gate. That doesn't mean anything to us, but the leaders of the city sat in the gate. That's where all the judgments were made. And the cases would be brought to the gate of the city to be judged. So Lot is, first, just it's temporary that he's there in a tent. Then he builds a house there. Now he's a leader there in Sodom. And we see that it's a warning. Lot's life is a warning because Lot's backsliding cost him dearly. We're going to see that this morning. It cost him everything. And it's amazing as we see that word cost. You know, sin always costs us. There's that classic quote that sin will take you where you never thought you'd go. It's amazing as a pastor, you sit with people. And 28 years, Susie and I have been here, and I can't tell you how many people I've sat with weeping with their head in their hands, and they say something along the lines of, I never thought I'd be here. I never thought I was capable of this. And I've heard it said in so many ways, but it always translates into sin will take you where you never thought you'd go. And it's amazing how long sin will keep you, longer than you ever thought you'd stay. You just hear people just grieving over their lives. I just can't believe I've ruined my life, and so many years have just been wasted. It'll take you where you never thought you'd go, keep you than you ever thought you'd stay, and always, right? It always costs you more than you ever thought you'd pay. And Lot is a picture, the last point we'll bring up, lots a warning to us. Lot is a picture of people that are saved, but only as through the fire. It's what 1 Corinthians 3 talks about, that as believers, as we talk about the Lord coming back, it's really purifying to know that when the Lord does come back for us, our lives are going to be judged. And a lot of people misunderstand that. They think, wow, I hope I'm going to make it to heaven. And it's not a judgment of whether you're going to make it to heaven, because Jesus died to take all your sins. When you stand before Jesus in judgment as a believer, it's not to see if you made it or not. But it's what the New Testament calls the Bema seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about how our lives are going to be judged by fire. And each man's life is going to be made manifest, whether your life was gold and silver and precious stones, right? Those things are going to survive the fire. Those things are eternal treasures. All the ways that you used your life for God, used your time, used your possessions, used your gifts, used your energy, used your influence, those are all gold and silver and precious stones. Those are what Jesus called storing up treasures in heaven. He said, you know, when you're storing up treasures on earth, moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. But if you'll store up treasures in heaven, then moth and rust can't destroy. Thieves can't break in and steal. And when we stand before Jesus, our lives are going to be judged. And gold, silver, precious stones, but then there's also the warning that for many people, it's going to be revealed that their life was just wood, hay, and stubble. That everything they used their life for, all their energy, all their finances, all their gifts, they used for things that don't have eternal value, and it's just going to go up in flames like wood, hay, and straw being exposed to fire. And it even says there, it warns that some people will be saved as through the fire. Like nothing in your life remains eternally. You did trust Jesus, you are saved, but just your whole life is going to go up in flames, and you're just going to come through the judgment singed. And really, Lot is a picture of that righteous man. He was saved, but he lost everything. And so we read on in verse 29, on the day that Lot, and this is really important to our study, and we're finishing the chapter today, so we'll just tie this in to the whole rest of the chapter. On the day that Lot went out, this is really important, that first Lot went out of Sodom, then came the judgment. Then it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So just a little bit of summary from last week, because we weren't able to finish the whole chapter last week, but Jesus is making a point, and we'll go back and just talk about Noah from last week for a minute. Last week, we saw that, and when we talked about Noah, a door was open in the sight of the Ark of Salvation, and Noah and his family entered the ark. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man is revealed. In a similar way, in these last days, Jesus is salvation. And Jesus said, I am the door, and whoever enters by me will be saved. And as we go back and look at Noah and listen to Jesus teach, we read that there was only one door in the Ark of Salvation, only one door you could pass through to be saved. And so too in the last days, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. In review, we saw last week the day came that God shut the door on the Ark. And that's what the Scriptures talk. There is a day coming when the last Gentile is going to get saved, and the door... We're presently living in an age of grace where anyone can be saved if they'll turn to the Lord. But the day's coming when that door is going to shut. And a door in heaven, the book of Revelation says, is going to open, and the church is going to be caught up into heaven. And we saw last week that whoever entered the ark of salvation was saved from the coming judgment. And this is important. Whoever did not enter the ark of salvation was left behind to face the coming judgment. That's what happened in the days of Noah. And now, the days of Lot. We read, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, first God led righteous Lot out of Sodom, and then the judgment came. Two times in a row, you want to see this, those left behind, this time in Sodom and Gomorrah, faced the judgment of God. So as we finish the chapter, you've got to have that context in your mind that two different times it was those who were left behind that faced the coming judgment. So let's keep reading in our chapter. This is the way Jesus has been teaching, and he just finishes now his thoughts. In that day, verse 31, he who's on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And so Jesus is teaching in the last days, our focus is no longer on our earthly treasures, but our focus is on eternal treasures. And how we're warned, and he's going to warn us in the next verse from Lot's wife, that we don't turn back. That in the last days, we're not living lives in love with the things of this world, but more and more our treasure is being stored up in heaven. And he says that in the next verse, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. So you go back and study about Lot's wife, and it says that Lot's wife, when God was taking Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, she looked back. And the Hebrew is she lovingly looked back. Like that's where my true affections lie. And God judged her, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And so she becomes a warning to us, but it's also still in the context of Lot's backsliding. When we talk about Lot's backsliding cost him everything, it even cost him his marriage. He lost his marriage. Started with I'll just be there temporary. And then he built a house. Then he became a leader. One of the sad things about Lot's life, it's so sad, this righteous man, when he tried to warn his son-in-laws about the judgment coming, his son-in-laws thought he was joking and just laughed at him, and they died in the judgment. He just lost all credibility with his kids, his son-in-laws. He lost everything. He lost his marriage. And it's just a commentary on backsliding that it never just affects us. It always affects the ones we love. So is the story of Lot. And verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it, or you'll truly be alive. If you try to save your life, one time Jesus said differently, he said, he who tries to find his own life, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose your life, or you'll surrender your life to Jesus, then you'll find true life, eternal life. And verse 34, I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. And one will be taken, and the other will be left. And so Jesus talking about his return, he talks about this event when he's coming for his church, and two men will be in bed, and that creates a struggle. What are two men doing in bed? Is this talking about the last days, the homosexuality? And if that's the case, wait. One's going to be taken, one's going to be raptured, one's going to be caught up in heaven, one's going to be left. I don't understand. And really, to understand it, you need to understand that the word men is in italics. And it's in the Greek, it's just two will be in one bed, and one will be taken, the other left. Two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. In verse 35, women is not in the Greek language. It's just, again, two will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Two, verse 36, again, it's two people will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. So in context, as you've been studying this, the one that is left is the one that is facing judgment, like the days of Noah. This is what Jesus has been teaching. The righteous being saved, delivered, the one that is left facing the judgment. And so in context, as you're coming through this chapter, the one that's left is the one that's facing judgment, like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. It's also interesting, we'll bring up the word taken. Taken is the word paralambano, which doesn't mean anything if you don't know the Greek language, but we'll talk about paralambano in a minute. But in context, taken is talking about a global rapture, right? On one side of the world, two people are in bed and one's taken. On the other side of the world, they're hard at work at the mill and out in the field, and one is taken. And so the taken here speaks of a global rapture. It's interesting that paralambano, it's used a couple different places in the New Testament. In Matthew 1:20, the angel told Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your bride, paralambano. In the same way, Jesus is going to come to take his bride. It's used in Matthew 17:1 that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the high mountain. That's paralambano. He took them up to show them his glory. And Jesus at the rapture is going to take us up, and our lowly bodies are going to be changed, Philippians says, into the likeness of his glorious body. One other place, John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. We've read in the last couple of weeks as we've talked about the rapture. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am there, you may be also. That word receive, again, is paralambano. It's talking about the Lord coming for his church. One will be taken, and one will be left in the bed. One will be taken, and one will be left in the mill to face judgment. One will be taken out in the field, and one will be left to face judgment. And verse 37, and they answered and said to him, where, Lord? And he said to them, I'll answer you this way, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And that's a reference, or vultures will be gathered together, and that's a reference to judgment. The bodies left behind are going to face the judgment. And we're going to stop there this morning. That's our chapter. We're in some great chapters leading up to Christmas, great texts leading up to Christmas in Luke 18. You can read ahead. But let's stop here. Let's just set things aside. And